the podcast from Belmont Chapel in Exeter, sharing the story, living the life. For more information, go to belmontchapel.org.uk.
Hi, I'm Harry. I'm a third year history student at the university, and I'm also on the committee for the Evangelical Christian Union. Today, I'm going to be reading from Acts 2, verses 42 to 47. Here, Luke writes, "They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All of the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favour of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved."
Hello, I'm Alex. I hope you're all keeping well. Today is the penultimate week in our series of talks called Experiencing a Better Story. This series is based on resources from Bible Society and this book by Andrew Orton about how making sense of the whole Bible story makes sense of our human story. Each week we've been considering a human need that we all have and linking that to one Bible passage from within the whole biblical narrative. We've got 1 week to go after this one. Today we'll consider the role the Holy Spirit plays in helping to fulfill our human desire for community. Then next week, Paul Cook will finish the series for us, considering hope and our longing for ultimate home. Excuse me. Our title today is Spirit, Our Thirst for Community. We're not going to take an in-depth look at the full work of the Holy Spirit, but rather the role he plays in helping to quench our thirst for community. We're going to think about our need for community in two ways. Firstly, our need for community with God, and secondly, our need for community with each other. One of the things I know has made lockdown especially hard for lots of people is loneliness. Lockdown for many is very lonely, and that's very difficult. We miss company. It's natural for us to feel that when our opportunities to connect with each other are so restricted. We find isolation difficult because humans have a need for relationships, for community. We long for connection with others. We read earlier in the series that humans were created by God and in the image of the triune God. Within the Trinity, we see this loving community of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, a loving relationship that humans are designed to emulate as we interact with each other and flourish through those connections. We were created to live in community. Genesis 2:18, God says, "It is not good for man to be alone." Lockdown has exacerbated the problem of loneliness in society, but it was an issue long before COVID, and it will still be an issue afterwards as much of society continues to become more individualistic. But deep down, we all have this thirst for community. Today, we're going to examine how through the Holy Spirit entering the lives of Christians, he quenches that thirst for community in a new way. That's what we're considering, how the Holy Spirit can help satisfy our need for community with God and help us experience community with each other in a unique way. Firstly, let's talk about community with God and start with the situation before Jesus. In the Old Testament, someone having community with God was very rare. God is awesome and holy, and sinful humans couldn't approach him or really get near to him. God's presence was kept safe, guarded in the temple, behind a curtain. Only select few people could occasionally enter God's presence, go through the curtain and have close community with him. The situation changed dramatically when God came into the world as the man Jesus. One of the names given for Jesus is Emmanuel, meaning God with us. Jesus walked the earth as God in flesh, sharing community with many people and building relationships. Humans enjoyed community with God through the person of the Lord Jesus. But then later in Jesus' ministry, that community with God looks like it's in jeopardy when Jesus shocks his disciples by telling them he's leaving. However, Jesus promises the relationship isn't over. God will send another helper, the Spirit of Jesus, who will be with them always. Jesus says in John 14:15-18, "If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." Community with God does not end when Jesus ascends to heaven. Jesus actually says it's better that he goes away because in his place, God will send the Spirit. During his time on earth, Jesus was limited by his physical body. He could only be in one place with certain people for a limited time. But through the Holy Spirit, Jesus can be with all of us all the time. We read in Acts, the Holy Spirit descends on the apostles on the day of Pentecost, and throughout the rest of the New Testament, the Spirit fills people who believe in Jesus and lives within them. That's still true today of Christians. They're filled with the Spirit of Jesus, meaning we can all have that community with God. So what does that actually look like, having community with God? Well, it means every day we have the Spirit of Jesus, the Helper, the Comforter, with us, guiding us, giving us his strength, illuminating God's word for us, helping us pray, giving us boldness to share the gospel, equipping us with his gifts to build up the church. He's helping us gradually become more like Jesus. Paul says in Galatians 5:25, "Let us keep in step with the Spirit." The more we do that, walking closely with the Spirit, the more we'll display the fruit of the Spirit and quench our thirst for community with God. And I think that's really relevant for helping us get through this time we're in now. For many of us right now, life is very difficult. I've often found myself recently obsessively checking the news in a way that I know is unhealthy. That's fear, isn't it? Things might feel out of control. You might feel afraid or powerless or maybe just bitter, angry and impatient. That's understandable. But 2 Timothy 1 verse 7 says, "God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control." The world might feel out of control, but we don't need to be out of control, descending into panic buying. The Spirit gives us self-control. The Spirit gives us power. The Spirit helps us to be loving. The Spirit helps satisfy our need for community with God. As Jesus says, "I will not leave you as orphans, bereft, comfortless, and helpless. I will come to you." The Spirit also helps us experience community with fellow Christians in a special way. This community we can have with other believers through the Spirit has a special name. It's called church. That's often what the word church means in the Bible, simply a local community of believers. In our reading today, we read about the first church, the community of believers in Acts 2:42-47. Just to remind you of the context for that passage, Jesus has ascended to heaven. He sent his Spirit at Pentecost. Peter preaches to the crowds the good news of Jesus. About 3,000 people become Christians. They're filled with the Spirit and get baptized. And the new community that results is described in our passage. It says, verse 42, "They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved." From those verses, I just want to briefly unpack what was special about this community in the Spirit. The early church in Acts was by no means perfect, just like our church is not perfect. But there's something unique about community between Christians that is possible through the Spirit of Jesus. It says, verse 42, "They were devoted to the apostles' teaching, to learning about Jesus, and to fellowship." The word used for fellowship is koinonia, the root meaning being having things in common, to share in something. They shared the spirit of Jesus. They shared the benefits of what Christ's death achieved. They shared in suffering for Christ. They shared in the responsibility of caring for the poor. They shared a common purpose and mission to spread the gospel. That's what fellowship means. Like in Lord of the Rings, the Fellowship of the Ring were 9 companions sharing a quest to destroy the ring. We who believe in Jesus have a shared quest. We're bonded by a shared purpose to know God and make him known. The believers in Acts 2:42 were devoted to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Breaking of bread could refer to the Lord's Supper or perhaps giving thanks before sharing a meal. We see from verse 46, they had a daily loving relationship, eating and spending time together with sincere joy. Being together was precious to them. It also says this community was incredibly generous. People voluntarily sold possessions to give to those in need. This wasn't commanded of them, rather they were just so devoted to one another, so concerned with the needs of each other. They couldn't stand seeing someone who was so precious to them living in need when they themselves had loads of possessions. This is the kind of community made possible through the Spirit of Jesus. A learning community, a generous community, a praying community, a praising community, and a growing community. Now, I'm not saying people who aren't Christians can't experience a wonderful sense of community. Of course they can. Nor am I saying we can't share community with people who want nothing to do with Jesus and the church. We can share community with all faiths. We can show hospitality. We can welcome strangers. But the Bible says the fellowship of the Spirit is a unique bond between Christians. Some of you watching may have never been to a pre-COVID service at Belmont. We were talking in my life group over Zoom recently. Someone said, you know, when all the restrictions are over and we can all be together, eat and drink together, sing and worship together, it's going to be like a glimpse of heaven. That's right. When we gather together in a church building and share fellowship together, there is community, friendship, love, joy, and unity. What is this foreshadowing? It's a foretaste of the coming kingdom of Jesus, where we'll sing together, eat together, worshipping Jesus forever. This community we're talking about is a reflection of Jesus's kingdom. In his kingdom, all of Jesus's people are going to be together forever. No more social distancing, no more sickness, no more suffering, no more death. In his kingdom, we're going to eat together with gladness in this huge celebration meal all around the glorious risen Christ. And we'll get to think more about that next week. But right now, as I said earlier, our church isn't perfect. We all still sin. We all mess up. We're a work in progress. I don't want you to get this idolized picture of what church life is like in the present age. So when Belmont's doors open, you don't walk in thinking, this is going to be like heaven. This community is going to be amazing. These people will be perfect. They won't be. Sometimes Christians will wind you up. Sometimes you'll wind up others. But heaven will be perfect. And us Christians who now can all be trying at times will be perfect in heaven and a joy to spend eternity with. In the meantime, we're going to wind each other up occasionally. We're family, after all. Before we try and think about what all I've said means for us today, I want to talk about how Acts sits in the context of the overall story of the Bible. When Jane Austen died, she was partly through writing a novel called Sanditon. She'd only written 11 chapters before she died, so the novel remains unfinished. What people have done since is then try to pick up the story where Austen left off and continue the story, continue writing in keeping with the first 11 chapters from Austen. The Book of Acts is a bit like that. It doesn't really have an ending. It just stops quite abruptly. And it's down to you and me to keep writing the story of the Church of Jesus Christ. That's why this week in our Bible series is particularly exciting, as this is where we fit into the Bible narrative. Next week, we'll think about our future prophesied in Revelation, but until those things come to pass, we'll continue writing the Book of Acts, living out the story of the Church in a way that's faithful to those first 28 chapters from Luke. The current chapter we're living in is challenging, given the pandemic and the restrictions of lockdown, and I'm realistic that it does make being community more difficult. All I would say is, let's keep looking out for each other. Let's keep being honest with each other about how we're doing. Reach out for help when needed. Keep proactively making contact with others. We'll have to be a bit creative. On WhatsApp, a bit like voicemail, you can record an audio message and send it to someone. Recently, we received an audio recording of someone just very quickly praying for our whole family as they were out for a walk. That was really lovely. Just because we're distant physically doesn't mean we have to be distant spiritually. We still have this mutual bond with Christ that unites us in a profound and eternal loving relationship. That should express itself in joyful and affectionate service for each other's good. Our community will survive this. We have a profound, eternal relationship. We're all one in Christ. Let's do what we can now as community. Let's keep looking forward, but even better than the promise of one day going back to our church building and singing together is the promise of something else, ultimate home, which we'll talk about next week. For now, we're called into the fellowship of God's Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. We can have community with God and each other through the Holy Spirit living in us. Sometimes at the end of our services at Belmont, we'll say the grace to each other. This is based on a verse in 2 Corinthians 13, which mentions the fellowship of the Holy Spirit that we thought about. We tend to say the grace spontaneously because most people at church know the words. It might be that you don't know the words, or you've never heard it before, or it might be you said it so many times, the words have kind of lost all meaning and you're kind of numb to them. So today, I just want to put the words on the screen so we can really take them in afresh. And even though we're apart, let's say these words together as community now. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all.